And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
That's a nice intro.
I was going to sing this song right away, but if you want me to.
Yeah, go.
Okay. You like this song.
Okay.
Once I believed I could help you, I believed I had something to say. But now, after all these years, I've learned we all must find our own way. Life has played some tricks on you, left you out in the cold. Left you on the streets, alone, without a home. Oh, I hope you find your way. I hope this is not the end. Yes, I hope you make it through. I will always be your friend. Oh, I will always, always be your friend. I know there is a road, I know there is a path that leads us all back home. But we must walk it alone. Sometimes we feel and cry, sometimes share, sometimes fight. And sometimes we must sing our songs to make it through the night. Oh, I hope you find your way. I hope this is not the end. Yes, I hope you make it through. I will always be your friend. Yes, I hope you find your way. I hope this is not the end. Oh, I hope you make it through. I will always be your friend. Oh, I will always, always be your friend. Yes, I will always, always be your friend. Remember, I will always be your friend.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Cool. Great song.
Yeah.
Is that the 10-day-old one?
Yeah.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah, that's the 10-day-old one.
Well done.
I figured I would do that one first.
Ah, before you forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what happens sometimes, as you know.
Yes, yeah. But if when you're playing originals, it doesn't matter because nobody knows except you.
That's true.
So it's always, yeah.
But that particular one, I didn't make any mistakes on, which I'm happy about.
Congratulations.
I didn't shift any words around. Sometimes the words get, shuffled around.
Yeah, yeah.
That was good.
I love the classical guitar, man.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I know how to play, really. Every once in a while, somebody gives me something else, but I don't really know how to play those electric ones or...
Electric.
Or 12 strings like that.
Yeah. It's so funny. So 12-string guitar, to go to college, I got a present, and they gave me a guitar. And I knew a little bit about guitars at the time, but not a lot.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, I mean, I knew how to play it, but I'm like, hey, 12-string guitar probably sounds twice as good as a 6-string guitar, right? That was my math in my head because I'm a dumb high school senior. And so I played, and I wound up touring in college, and I played 12-string for like 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So, I got to know the 12-string guitar, right? So now I'm doing this guitar series. I do one a month over at Paula's, and it's me and a guitar player of like a different genre. So it'll be me and a bluegrass, or me and a couple weeks I'm doing with a mandolin player or electric or whatever, all different genres. And, right. You know, we play together. Right. Do you know, I can't find anybody in the Hudson Valley that plays a 12-string guitar.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I can't find anybody. You know anybody?
Well, I know people, I think, that play 12-string in addition.
Right, that's what I mean. I need you to be able to do, like, 3 hours with a 12-string guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, see? Like
Maybe Kurt Henry could, I don't know.
Oh, okay. But, I love 12-string, but I should show you this, actually. Hold on.
What day of the week do you do your event?
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday?
It's one Sunday a month.
Okay.
I bought this.
Oh.
Silver tone?
Yeah, nice.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing these mics are omnidirectional, right? I bought this thing and I can't keep an E string on it. The E string keeps popping.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I gotta take it to get it fixed because I really want to. Because when
I had that problem recently where I did change the strings and the E string popped right away on a brand new set of strings. It was the first time ever that happened to me. I replaced it. And I haven't had any problems since.
Oh, cool. Do you, yeah, maybe I'll just replace it one more time and just see. But, I used to teach guitar a little bit. And when I taught, I would insist. I'm actually teaching a guy now, and I just did this. I would insist that you start on a classical guitar.
Oh, interesting.
A couple reasons. Number one, the nylon strings are easier on your fingers.
Definitely true.
So you can hang out and practice longer.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
But more importantly, the neck is wider and the strings are farther apart. It's harder to play. But when you get good at that,
right,
like you are,
yeah,
you could play this all day long.
But a lot of people, I would find it difficult if I got, you know, because the strings are so closer together.
It would take you 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But this is so much easier than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So, Music for Humanity.
Yes, and Music for Humanity.
Your amazing work. For new people, can you explain what Music for Humanity is?
Basically, we spread more music. That's the mission of Music for Humanity. Spread more music throughout the world, both locally and even internationally. We do that by giving out scholarships to kids who are going to college as music majors. That's one way we do it. And some of those kids are coming from other countries. So they're coming from South America, they're coming from Europe, they're coming from all over the country, and they're coming to, you know, to Juilliard, to Berklee College of Music, to the Manhattan School of Music, and they're music majors. So we don't discriminate where you come from, as long as you're a music major in an accredited college or university in the United States. We also started a new program about 5 years ago, and we've given out $207,000 in music scholarships.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
A lot of generous people out there. And it doesn't take, you know, it takes a lot of people to give $5 or $10. So whenever I play anywhere, I say to people, you know, it's people just like you have made this possible who have donated $5 or $10 or bought a raffle ticket for $10 or whatever. But there are people who give me a couple thousand dollars every year. And this year, I have something really special to announce. We were chosen by Johnston Subaru in Middletown, New York, to be the local charity of the Subaru Share the Love event.
Oh, wow.
What that means is it will translate to a donation from Subaru of about somewhere between $30,000 and $50,000.
Oh, congratulations.
In 2026, I think I just read the details of this.
That's amazing.
You should get that donation in May of 2026. But what it means for you personally, locally, people, if you want to buy a Subaru, and I've been driving a Subaru for 30 or 40 years now, they are great cars. If you buy one from Johnson Subaru, you can choose Music for Humanity as your charity of choice. Then Subaru of America will donate $250 towards Music for Humanity, and Johnson's Toyota will kick in another $50. So it's basically $300 per car from November 20th to January 2nd.
That's fantastic.
Right. And also, Johnson Subaru will kick in $5 per repair service. So anything, whether it's just an oil change or a major repair, every car that comes in during that time period, $5 will go to Music for Humanity. And this year, we are the only charity they picked. Last year, they had two charities, and I saw the checks they gave out were over $40,000 between the two checks.
That's amazing.
So I'm thinking about buying a new car myself this year.
It would be the time.
It would be the time to buy it. So in any case, and then the other thing about giving out new instruments to local school districts. Now, we started this, I think, 5 years ago. Let me think about this. We started with Middletown, New York. We gave them $3,600 worth of new instruments. The next year, we went to Beacon because I spent a lot of time in Beacon. So we gave the Beacon School District $2,500 worth of new instruments. The next year was Valley Central. Last year was Goshen. This year, two schools. So I'll tell you the story about that. We did Chester, where we're based out of, and it was amazing. I thought I'd call up Chester, and they were, so thanks a lot, but we got plenty of instruments, you know. They were ecstatic.
Really?
We mean, oh my God, thank you. And we gave them, I think, $4,000 worth.
Mm.
Plus, this year, we also got a special donation from a guy named Stephen Pantaleo. That's another whole story, but besides giving us $5,000 earlier in the year, or last year, and we named the Grand Scholarship, which is a $10,000 scholarship after his brother. So Stephen Pantaleo gave us $5,000. We named the Grand Scholarship after Michael Pantaleo, who was a full-time musician, music teacher. I won't go into it too deeply now. And then Steve knows somebody who was the librarian at Pine Bush, where I live, right outside of Pine Bush, and Steve wanted to give extra money, and we just did this the other day. I went to the school. We picked up the guitars a while ago, but we bought $4,500 worth of guitars from Alto Music for the Pine Bush guitar lending program and their guitar club, so that kids who are in the guitar club can like take out a guitar like they take out a book and take it home with them.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
it is a fantastic idea.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm very happy about that. And so altogether with all these schools, we've given, you know, about $25,000 in new instruments. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. Happens all the time. My daughter just called while you were talking. Do you want to take it?
No.
Okay.
I have to call him back. I know who it is, but I'm gonna get this.
It's a running joke on the show that my family always calls me while I'm on the show.
Oh, I heard that.
Yeah, it's on.
I will mute this or at least vibrate it. I have to call him back later. Okay.
That's you know why that I love that lending program, because you know,
yes,
that's so important, because when you're a kid, it's so easy to make bad choices, And if you fall in love with a guitar, all of a sudden, all your choices are good because it's just all about the guitar.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Exactly. So, yeah. So, I love giving. That's an amazing
program.
This was
something that the librarian himself had started on his own. So, he would bring his guitars in. Like,
you should come back with him. We could co-host and interview him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a good idea. So, he would bring his guitars in, but he didn't feel comfortable letting the kids take it home. So, they would have the guitars.
You'd have to play. Right.
And then he would take them home. So, this idea was, now they could take these guitars home with them.
That's amazing. Are they classical guitars?
Some are classical, some are left. There's a whole variety.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, I mean, even better.
It's a good selection.
That's fantastic.
A good selection of instruments. I was really impressed with what we got and what Alto Music in Middletown, New York gave us. They were very generous.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very generous. So that really worked out well. And I'm sure next year, you know, with all this money coming in next year, and hopefully from this 20th anniversary celebration on October 19th, we're going to have a lot of money to give out.
That's fantastic.
You know, one of the great things about Music for Humanity is, I mean, when I first started a not-for-profit, and my naive way of thinking, it was, well, not-for-profits, everybody volunteers. No, no, no. You're laughing.
Right,
yeah. But I volunteer, and I mean, we do have expenses, but there's no salary at Music for Humanity. Nobody earns a salary.
Right. That's incredible.
That makes it very much, much easier for us to give out more money.
Right, right.
And that's the beauty of it.
Have you, you're one of my favorites. And I tossed around the idea of forming like a companion organization to Music for Humanity.
Wow.
That would lobby in Albany for more music education in schools.
Wow.
And
I think technically we're not supposed to lobby or do any of that kind of stuff, but if you wanted to do that would be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a separate organization, because Music for Humanity, I always tell people when I play or whatever, or if I'm asking for donations, Music for Humanity is not a political organization.
Right.
We're not a religious organization.
Right. See, mine would be.
Right. we're not a cult.
Yeah.
Okay? You can come and go as you please. We like you to stick around. We appreciate your donations, but there's really no rules. I would say the only rule I could give is that let's respect each other. That's about it.
That's a solid rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't understand the state of music education today. It's the idea that phys ed is two or three times a week and art and music is one time a week makes me crazy.
Yeah,
because
you're right.
The emotional and developmental benefits of music are at least equal.
I would say far superior.
I would too, but I'm trying to be nice. At least equal.
Well, I think the far superior thing about it is that it really works your brain in terms of math.
Mm-hmm.
It also, the social interactions from music, you know, I mean, it's phenomenal.
And
I am truly thankful and grateful that music is a big part of my life.
Yeah. And the great thing about music as opposed to football is your music is a whole life passion.
Exactly.
There are no 45-year-old players in the NFL. There are a lot.
There used to be one or two. George Bland, I was a football fan.
Brady. Tom Brady.
Yeah, he made it.
Yeah. There's a lot of 80-year-old really good guitar players.
There's no doubt about it. When I first started playing music, I was 11 years old.
Hmm.
I started studying guitar with a little old Italian man on 18th Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. And after about 6 months, I said to my mother, "Mom, I don't want to play guitar anymore. I want to play basketball."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did from the age of 11 to about 18 or maybe even 19. I was involved in basketball in a very serious way. Would you mind playing on my high school team and all that stuff? And my college freshman team too. And then
nice.
And then when my career was over in basketball, when I realized, well, you know, it's over, you know. Although I know that there are guys still my age and in their 50s, 60s, 70s that still go out and play basketball. It's for young people. But I did make a very conscious decision, and that was, well, I got all this energy I used to put into basketball. Where am I going to put it now? And I said, music, of course.
Yeah.
Because music I can do for the rest of my life.
For the rest of your life.
And that was the greatest decision I'd probably ever made in my life.
Yeah. And I'm a giant, like, I work out 2 hours a day. I'm in the gym, like, all the time. Mm. It's more for my head than my body at this stage of the game. But, like, I'm 62, right?
Right.
So my workout now is different than my workout was when I was 30, right?
Of course.
So I get, like, a different benefit, maybe not the same benefit. The guitar, I get the same benefit at 62 that I got at 12 and that I'll get at 82. It never diminishes.
Beautiful way to think of it.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
And I've seen I saw Segovia play when he was 80-something.
Mm.
You know, I just saw Charles Makatov, who was a board member of Music for Humanity and the chairperson of the scholarship committee. I just saw him give a full concert, and he, I think, is 67, 68.
Yeah, man.
And it was magnificent.
Do you do anything for your hands?
Do I do anything?
Like exercises?
I do this exercise, which is...
Oh.
And I do certain exercises.
Right.
But I do certain exercises. I just have the cataract surgery, so I haven't done any real serious exercise for the last 10 days, but I'm about to start again tomorrow. And I do a very, one of the greatest things I learned about exercising, and I'll share this with you, and everybody out there listening, is called the power of 10. I visited a friend once out in Sedona, Arizona, and there was a book lying around called the power of 10. Now, when I grew up, I learned how to do push-ups from the middleweight boxing champion of the Navy. I was like...
That's a good teacher.
Yeah, I was like eight or nine. He worked next door to my father's dry cleaning store in Brooklyn, and he showed me how to do push-ups when I was 8 or 9 years old. And you do push-ups, you do a set of 10, you know, real fast. 10,
yeah.
You stop. But reading this book opened my eyes up to another whole way of exercising, which is... Instead of doing all those sets of 10 really fast, on the way up, when I do the push-up, I'm counting to 10 very slow.
Oh, yeah.
I get to the top, and I go down, I count to 10 very slow.
Yep.
I get to the bottom, just above the ground, I hold it for 2 seconds, and I do another count to 10 on the way up.
Way better.
I can only do 3 or 4 push-ups.
You're doing 30.
But, I tell you this, you are exercising your muscles to exhaustion.
Yeah.
Without the possibility of injuring them.
Injury,
same
right.
Same thing with your lifting weights. I lift weights, so instead of doing those sets, I count to 10.
Yeah.
On the way up, and I count to 10 slowly on the way down. It is so much better.
That's concentric and eccentric, and you're right. The slower you go, the better. The other thing you could do, you ever do isometric?
Yeah, well, this is isometric. This is an example of...
No, isometric is like you... So, like, if you're curling, curling, right?
Yeah.
You... One weight in each hand, right?
Yeah.
While you're curling the one arm, you're holding this steady. And then the other.
Oh, interesting.
And it's the same principle. You're not doing as many because you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're working to fatigue, yeah.
I do this one. So, also, like, when I do squats... Now squats, and I watch. The three major exercises for people our age are push-ups, squats, and the plank.
Yep,
are very important for us to do.
Yeah,
I don't have to go to a gym. I don't need a gym. I could do all the.
Yeah, I need a gym.
Some people need a gym.
I need a gym, man. I need to. And like, of my 10 best friends, probably 6 are trainers now. So, and 4 are musicians. So,
that's cool. Yeah. And also the same thing, it kind of goes for music. If you want to learn something, you got to play it slow.
Well.
Really learn it well. To play a fast piece, you got to play it slow.
See, that's my, you have hit the nail on the head. So that's my argument about shredding. I don't like shredding at all. Right. I think shredding is athletic. It's fun to watch,
right.
But especially like, and you're very good at what I'm about to describe, especially with an acoustic guitar. the acoustic guitar, when you play acoustic guitar, it produces a very specific sound, different than when I play it. And the reason is because guitar is a percussion instrument. You have to hit it to make noise.
Right.
And it vibrates, right?
Yeah.
It's vibrating. You vibrate. You have your own vibration.
Yeah.
And that combination of vibration is what, like, if you played my guitar and I played my guitar, would sound, you would hear it, you would hear a difference. And right. That's one of the contributing factors. The best acoustic guitar players, in my opinion, or the ones I like the most, do what you do. Let the guitar do some of the work. Play a note and let it hang there.
Oh, yeah.
And because the note will move around on you. The note will, and you get to hear the wood. Like, you're shredding, like, it's fun to watch, but you're going so fast, I'm not hearing everything. And there's so much more margin for error because the next note happens so fast, I don't know if the last one was good or not. Yeah. But, like, players like you play, that's what I love. I love, let the guitar do some work. Let me hear the guitar. You're partnering with it. Let your partner.
Yeah.
Give your partner a minute.
Yeah, this is a good partner to have.
Yeah.
For sure.
How long have you had that?
I got this guitar a long time ago. I would say probably in 72.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, people have told me it's Brazilian rosewood. I paid $300 back then. People have told me the wood in this alone is worth at least $2,500.
Brazilian rosewood?
Wood.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but you could never sell it.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to sell it now.
Right.
But in any case, I did have a dream the other day. Something happened to it. I had to buy a new one. I don't know. But in any case, I'm very happy with this guitar. I did have every year for the past few years, people have donated guitars to us to raffle off.
Okay,
I do have a raffle. I don't have it up online yet, but I do have I have to put this up. I've been really neglectful. But we have a Taylor mini guitar this year that we're raffling off. Yeah.
So this thing?
Yeah, basically, yeah. We're raffling that off it's a $5 raffle. It's a $600 guitar. Plus, it comes with a little baby amp for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's nice. It's worth about $700 in total, the whole deal. And somebody can win that for $5.
And the raffle's on the website?
Not yet. Not that one. The money raffle, which we've done for the last 12 years, has been on is on the website.
And the website is?
The website is music for, that's the word, FOR, humanity.org.
Yeah.
Musicforhumanity.org. And there's a lot of things happening on our website. I want to do a shout out to the webmaster, Edison Guzman, who has made a lot of things possible that would not have been possible without his services.
Very cool.
Very cool. He's really gone above and beyond board everything to help Music for Humanity, and I'm grateful. Grateful for Edison.
You going to do this till you die?
Oh, without, of course. I mean, what do you mean die? I'm never dying.
Well, in the unlikely event that you die,
I'll be singing.
Yeah, but Music for Humanity. Do you ever because you're not a small nonprofit anymore.
Well, we're still pretty small, but I mean,
you give away $207,000. You're starting to get in.
That's over 20 years.
Yeah, but still, you're starting to get to that place where
we're getting a little bit more well known. I basically was a part time volunteer while I was running my business.
Right.
For the first 18 years of Music for Humanity.
Right.
Now, the last 2 years, I'm a full-time volunteer. So I'm working, I'm doing something every day.
Yeah.
For Music for Humanity, sometimes hours a day, sometimes a full day.
Yeah.
Sometimes more than I should be doing.
Understood. Understood. But do you have a vision for it to be bigger, or do you like this size?
Well, I like it where it's at right now, but I think we want to spread more music. I kind of compare myself to Johnny Appleseed. He planted, he went out and he planted all these seeds. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
That's what we're doing. We're planting music seeds, and they're going to grow and they're going to blossom. And those seeds, which are really international now, are going to
help connect people. Because of those people, those music ambassadors, that's what we're really trying to get. And I want to say this, that the Grant Scholarship winner every year, we have to pick out one kid that gets $10,000. And I'm happy to say that he was a high school graduate right from Kingston High School. And he was competing against, there were 43 applications, plenty of those kids going to Juilliard. But if you listen, if you go to the website and you listen to his video essay, what a great kid this is.
That's amazing.
And you know right away that this kid is way beyond his age of a high school senior.
That's very cool.
He understands the importance of music in the world, and he is going to be a fantastic music ambassador. And we have some more of those, you know, coming up on this event on October 19th in Warwick.
Yeah, let me talk about that for a second. It's Sunday, October 19th at Mulder Chapel in Warwick. Warwick's
1:30 in the afternoon. It begins
1:30 in the afternoon. How long does it go to?
It's probably going to go till about 5. The way it's going to play out is people arrive at 1:30. Alan's Falafel from Chester is going to cater the whole event, so come hungry.
Okay, cool.
And eat for about an hour. And then we'll start the music at 2:30, and we'll go from 2:30 to 3:30, and then we'll take a half-hour intermission, go back and have dessert, eat. I mean, really, come hungry. There's going to be a lot.
That's awesome.
There'll be a lot of food. And then we'll close out the show with another hour the second half of
right.
the show. And we'll also, even if you can't come to the show, this is very important. You're busy, you don't want to come, you can't make it, it's too far away. No matter where you are in the world, we're going to have an online auction that you could participate in for free if you want to buy something. And we're going to have vacation packages all over the world.
Oh, wow.
To Italy, to Mexico, to Bali. It's going to be some great stuff you could bid on. We're going to have autographed guitars, autographed guitar by Bruce Springsteen, one by Bob Dylan, one that has the autograph, an electric guitar that will have Eric Clapton, Carlos Santana, and a few more people on that guitar. We're going to have a signed album by Jimmy Buffett. There's going to be some very cool things that you could bid on.
Wow.
And you don't have to attend. You could do that from your home or your office.
Right, right, right.
Just go to musicforhumanity.org. That's music, the word F-O-R, humanity.org. Right at the top of the page, you'll see, click here to find out about the 20th anniversary celebration.
That's amazing. Now, can I buy, is it like it's a ticketed event?
It's a ticketed event.
Where do I get the tickets?
Right there too, musicforhumanity.org.
Okay, cool.
Now, most of our events are free events. We've been running a free event at Noble Coffee Roasters for, and you've played there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be, we're up to 179th show. The 180th show, which will have Tom Heaney, who's been one of your guests.
Oh, yeah.
Tom will be there with Lisa Bigwood, who I met up at the Colony in Woodstock. That's going to be the culmination of 15 years. We're going to go on further. We're going to go on forever. But on the third Saturday of every month at Noble Coffee Roasters in Campbell Hall, New York, we have what's called the Music for Humanity Free Performance Night. It's a free event. We invite you to come for free. And we get a nice crowd, anywhere from 30 to 75 people. If you like to listen to music, this is a listening room.
Yeah.
This is not going to a brewery or a bar where the music is background.
Right.
This is where people come to hear.
Specifically to listen.
Right.
Yeah.
And Noble Coffee Roasters has some great coffee, some great desserts.
No, it's a cool spot.
It's a cool
spot. And you're right. It's a room for listening.
It's a room for listening.
Which is really cool.
And the other place we have coming up soon, we've had this show going on for a while at the Goshen Public Library in New York. We've had some sponsors for this, so we've been able to pay the musicians, which is really nice.
Yep.
So we have on, let me think about this. September 27th, that's a Saturday afternoon, we have Chris Rabe, who is one of my favorite musicians.
I played with Chris Rabe.
In the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
An amazing singer.
Yep.
And a great guitar player. So he's going to play solo there.
Make him cover Fire and Rain for you.
Oh, yeah. He
make him do Fire
and Rain. You hear that, Chris? Fire and Rain.
I did a concert with him.
Yeah.
And the first half was me and the second half was him, right?
Where was it?
At the Rhinecliff Library.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Which is an amazing room. Have you ever been there?
I had been there twice, I think. Once was the year Charles Mankatov do a solo concert, which was conducted by the Hudson Valley Classical Guitar Society.
Amazing.
It was sold out.
Yeah.
And he was amazing. He's on another level, Charles. He had a real career when he was younger,
right,
in his 20s, traveling around as a classical guitarist. And then the family came into the picture and he had to make more money.
Right.
And but he never stopped playing, and that was the beauty of it.
Yeah.
He's still a great player.
So I get up and I, yeah, like, I'm James Taylor knockoff, right? Like,
yeah,
so,
I know. I've heard you.
So, right. Yeah. So I play Fire and Rain. It's weepy. It's James Taylor knockoff, whatever. I get it.
Yes.
So Rave comes on and it was the type of thing like where we'd sit there and talk back and forth and swap some songs and do shit. Right. So he says, I'm going to do Fire and Rain too.
Oh, wow.
He does it like his style.
Yeah.
It was insane. It was so good.
Yeah, I know.
And he taught me a new way of covering songs. So I'm talking to him, like, how do you, like, what's your process?
Right.
And because he was on the show too. And he goes, my process is if I want to cover a song, I learn the song and I never listen to it again. So it doesn't influence me anymore. And then I just try to do my own thing with it.
Oh, okay.
Which is really kind of.
Yeah, he does some totally unique and beautiful interpretations.
Yeah.
He does that one song. I can't remember the name of it, but what's his name does it? I can't remember anything anymore. but he does some amazing covers.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great show.
He does a great cover of All Along the Watchtower.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. He's a good show.
Oh, yeah.
Go see him. He's a good show.
Go see him.
When is that? 27th.
Saturday, September 27th, Goshen Public Library, 2:00. It's free, 2 to 4.
He's a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be great.
So, you worried about AI?
Well, I utilize it a little bit every once in a while.
Musically?
Not musically. I had to make a commercial for the October 19th event, a radio commercial.
It's great for that.
So I said, look at this event. I gave him the website. Look at this. And can you give me a 1 minute, the lyrics? I didn't want any music. I had the music for
it. Okay.
And it came out great. I mean, it really came out of great. That commercial is a phenomenal commercial, which incorporates three of the performers. One is Charles Mankatov. One is Elisa Jones. You know Elisa?
I've never met her, but I know of her,
yeah. She's phenomenal. And one is John Cimino, who I'm sure you don't know. But John Cimino won the first International Pavarotti Voice Competition.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to sing. But one of the things that changed his entire life when he was 15, he's 75 now, John. And when he was 15, he went into the city with his parents, just the way I went in the city with my parents, to see the show. The show was Man of La Mancha.
Oh, yeah.
And that changed his life. He was going to be a scientist, and he did end up going to Rensselaer Polytech. But while he was at Rensselaer Polytech, he played a little bit of music. He sang a little bit of music in local theater groups. And somebody from the New York Metropolitan Opera was scouting for new students. And they heard him and they convinced him to come to the city for a year and study opera. He did that. And while he was there, he has an amazing voice. While he was there, all these professors came to hear him sing, and then they said finally, John, we got one more guy who wants to hear you sing. He says, okay. I mean, he's a kid. He's 19 or 20 years old at the time. So this guy, little old Italian guy, comes in, says to he listens to him. He says, okay. He says, okay. He doesn't even speak to John. So they said, John, we're going to send you to Italy to study with him for a month. They send him to Italy, studies with him. They said, John, we know you don't have much money, but on the last day, put whatever you have, put it in an envelope, and give it to the teacher. Last day, he does that. Teacher says to him, no. I don't want your money, but when you go back to the States, I want you to look up my other student, Luciano Pavarotti, and give him this message for me.
Wow.
So in any case, that's how, it's a great story.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's more to that story, which I heard right from the horse's mouth.
Right.
From John's mouth. John lives right in Chester, New York. And we go out for lunch once in a while, and he tells me these stories. And
that's amazing.
So that music for Man of La Mancha, many, many people have covered that, you know.
Right.
To Dream the Impossible Dream.
Yep.
I am I, Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. Nobody in the world can sing that music like John.
Mm, that's cool.
Yeah, and there's many famous people who have sung it, but there is no, he still has the playbill from 60 years ago.
Wow.
To give you an idea.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
And that was kind of cool because that was sung by Richard Kiley. And Richard Kiley lived in Warwick.
Oh, okay.
So we're having this event in Warwick in one of the Mulder Chapel. Most people, even in Warwick, they've heard of, it is one of the most beautiful venues. A lot of people get married there, but you don't go to a lot of concerts, although I've been to a few concerts up there.
I played, this is weird. Yeah. I played in a handbell concert there, and you're right. It's gorgeous.
Oh, you've been there. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been there. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
They had I was in like this handbell choir for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And and I played there, and it was, I suck at handbell, by the way.
That was, oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool.
Once you go walk in there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just breathtaking. Yeah. That's when.
Absolutely.
And October 19th, I really picked that date because I said, boy, the colors should be at
peak. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be beautiful.
Amazing. And it's going
to October, what is it?
19th.
19th. Okay.
1:30 in the afternoon. Come okay. Hungry. We're going to feed you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to be. Oh, by the way, I should say, when do we go on the air with this
one? You pick. I mean, it can be tomorrow.
Oh, as soon as, well, only because the cost of the tickets will go up from $99 a month, $99 for a ticket to $125 starting on October 1st.
Oh, all right. So let's get this up right away.
Yeah, as soon as all you right. want to put it up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to have, today is Thursday. Tomorrow, we're having a half-page ad in 5 editions. This is a weekly newspaper of Strauss newspapers. It's going to go to all the communities surrounding Warwick. It's going to go to Goshen, Chester, Monroe, a little bit northern Jersey. And it's going to go to almost 50,000 homes.
Mm.
And it's a good ad.
Yeah, wonderful.
So,
is this in Goshen? Is Frank's still there?
Frank's? What's Frank's?
Okay. So my first job out of college, I worked at the Warwick Conference Center.
Oh, you were? Oh, wow. You're kidding me.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And Frank's was a restaurant, and you wouldn't, like, it was like a pizza Italian restaurant. I had the best clams in the history of clams.
Wow.
So we got one night off a week.
You went to Frank's.
Yeah, I went to Frank's all the time.
Oh, interesting. I don't know if it's still there. It might be.
I'll have to check it. I'll have to look.
I don't know that well.
You want to do a song?
Yeah, we can do a song. This is I'm going to do this song called, it's called Grateful.
Grateful.
Because I am grateful for many things.
Okay.
And this song, let me just check the tune here.
Yeah, do you think?
This song will, This is a relatively new song, too.
When you write, does music come first or the words come first?
They usually come together. I'm usually just sitting home alone playing something and something comes into my head and then I get a couple of chords and I don't know. This is the way this one came.
All right, cool.
Grateful. I'm grateful for the rising sun. I'm grateful this day has begun. Oh, I'm grateful for all the love I've shared. I'm grateful I can still feel and I can care. I'm grateful for the food I eat. I'm grateful I can feel my heart beat.
grateful to all those who have called. I'm grateful for this life, for it all. I'm grateful that I can walk. I'm grateful that I can talk. Oh, I'm grateful I can still hear and I can see. I'm so grateful that I can simply be. And when it's all over, and when my life is done, I hope I've left something for you to be grateful for, the rising sun. I'm grateful I live surrounded by trees. I'm grateful that I am finally free. Oh, I'm grateful I've learned how to live. I'm so grateful I've learned how to give. I'm grateful that I can sing. I'm grateful I can feel the seasons, especially spring. Oh, I'm grateful for these songs given to me. I'm so grateful they've helped some people feel and see. And when it's all over, and when my life is done, I hope I've left something for you to be grateful for, the rising sun. Yes, when it's all over, and when my life is done, I hope I've left something for you to be grateful for, the rising sun. To be grateful for the rising sun. Just to be grateful that your day has begun.
Yeah, man.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. I am grateful for many things.
That's beautiful. Mm. Do you, with your lyrics, do you handwrite them? Do you type them? How do you handle that?
I handwrite them at first.
Yep.
Now I've gotten into the habit of when I do my crossing out, whatever I have to do, sometimes that goes on for days. Sometimes it's done. And when I feel comfortable now, I go to the computer, I put it in the computer. Mm. I put in the chords. Sometimes I've forgotten songs and years go by and I have to resurrect these songs.
Yeah.
And years ago, because I didn't put enough notes down.
Right.
I've been able to resurrect them.
Right.
But it's really good to add the chords, any little leads that you put into it, any little individual notes, whatever.
Right, right.
You know, to really have that solidify that if you go back to it, because right now I've lost track, but probably 150 songs or more.
That's great.
So, you know, you have your A list, which you're playing quite often, and then these other songs that you might let sit for years.
Right.
And you say, oh, that's a good song. Let me, and you go back to look it up and, I don't even have the chords down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can be a problem. I have the lyrics down, but.
Right. Right.
So I'm careful now with putting everything down.
That's good. Yeah. I'm doing this thing. Tell me what you think. I'm doing this. So I've talked to so many musicians now on here that I got to the point where I'm like, okay, one of the questions I ask is, how do you know when you're done with a song? How do you know when you're done?
It's got to feel good. I don't really know, because it's always, there can always be changes in the future. It's, in a way, it's never done, because you might go back and you might say, well, I got this word might be better than that word.
Right.
The little things like that. But basically, like these songs that I played for you, they're done. I mean, the song Always, the first song I played, and this song Grateful, I don't have to change too many things on these songs.
No.
They hit people, and I've seen them hit people, and it's gratifying to have some really good songwriters come over to me and say, oh, that's a keeper.
Yeah. I have this new practice that I'm doing.
Great.
I write a song, I get it to a point where I like it, and then I change something. Because I always, like, I'm finding that the best songwriters don't stop at, okay, I'm happy with this. They do one more, like you were just talking about, like, no, I can change one more thing. I can change a word. Yeah. I can change something.
I leave myself open to the possibility.
Yeah. And that the weaker songwriters stop at the point where they're like, oh, I like that. Okay. Yeah. But songwriters like you that push one extra step and go, nah, I like it, but that could be better. Or, no, I like it, or that word can be tweaked.
It can always be tweaked.
Yeah.
It can always be tweaked. And sometimes, actually, when I'm singing it, well, first of all, when I write a new song, I play it. You know, I don't go out looking for gigs, but I go to a lot of open mics. So a lot of people at open mics, they have to have the lyrics with them. And I don't play a song out at an open mic until I have it really internalized, and I can sing it from memory, because if you're looking at the lyrics, it's taking something away from your delivery.
I agree with you. And I don't like, and with the iPad too.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a fan. I mean, like, I know some really good musicians who use it, but I always think, like, you know what? Would it be any better if you just? But it's good for people to take requests.
Yes.
Okay. Like, if you take requests and you're playing in a bar, then that's good. It's good for that.
I've never played in a bar. I don't ever want to play in a bar. The closest bar I come to is a town crier. It's really a good listening room for the most part. And
I stopped doing bars too.
Yeah, I can't. I could never do it.
Well, it's frustrating, because When you're in a room like that, even restaurants are frustrating. When you're in a room like that,
they're not there to listen to you.
Or a third of them are, and you can't do what you want to do for the third that's actually paying attention.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I played restaurants, and, like, you know, so there's 75 people there. 20 of them
are listening.
I can tell. Are like, hey, you know,
this guy's good. I want to
hear. I like James Taylor. Whatever. Yeah.
But the other ones are shitty.
Right. And I can't do what I want for you, because.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why I don't go to those places. I only go to open mics, and some of them can be noisy too. There is a certain exercise you got to get into your head to be able to get through that, to get through, to ignore the noise.
Yeah.
And that's a certain practice that's good to have in your repertoire, that you can concentrate enough that the noise doesn't, you can play right through it.
How often do you practice?
Every day I play music.
You do play every day?
What's
the average? What do you think?
Meaning time?
Like time, yeah.
Well, more recently, less, because I'm concentrating on.
Yeah, you got stuff going on.
Got stuff going on. But normally I would play, when I don't have these big things going on, 2 to 3 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
I'll get up in the morning. That'll be one of the first things I do, which, I mean, I might start at 6 o'clock and I might end at 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
That's 2.5 hours.
That's great.
And it's the reason. But when I write a new song, I play that song probably at least 50 times before I play it out.
Well, so here's my problem. So I'm like,
play a song, John.
I'm just playing it to make a point. But I do the same exact thing with a new song. And I told you, I'm just writing the song about my daughter going to college.
Yeah.
And it's so sad that
you're going to play it?
I'll play a couple people, a minute of it.
Okay.
but it's so sad that like playing it 50 times just keeps making me sadder and sadder.
Yes.
Here, tell me what you think.
We hold hands that don't let go. Where that takes us, I don't know. But it got us here from there. So we're kind of the thing. You try again. I am awkward in my grasp. Too hard, too soft, too slow, too fast. But it got us here from there. And we're kind of the thing. You try again and I'm bleeding while you're flying. That goodbye was just like dying. No, oh, I know I'm supposed to go, but we're kind of the thing. You try again. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to go, but we're kind of the thing. You try again. Come on home.
You play that like, beautiful. Oh, thank you. But I play it like 50 times, now I'm going to be depressed the rest of the day.
Listen, oh, by the way, I should mention on that note of that song that this is the third year Music for Humanity is having a songwriting contest.
Ah.
Feel free to enter that song. We do give out $1,500, $1,000 for the first prize, $500 for the second prize. And thanks to Ellie Winninger. Do you know Ellie?
Yeah, she's been on.
Yeah. Ellie recommended. She was on the first year. It was me, Ellie, and Dave Kearney.
Yes.
Who were the judges. And it was her suggestion to, you know, there's so many good songs. Let's give out some honorable mentions. And we did that. So the first year we gave out 5 honorable mentions. Last year we gave out 6 honorable mentions, which is just a nice certificate.
Right.
But it's great. And I actually got an honorable mention from a songwriting contest. Talent is Timeless. Talent is Timeless.
Oh, wow.
It's from England.
Congrats.
Yeah. But in any case, so...
Well, I have your winners on here, don't I?
What's that?
I have the winners in the last 2 contests.
Oh,
I have,
you had the winners.
That's, yeah, I had the winners on here. Yeah.
It's on here.
Yeah.
That's right. Hopefully, yeah, that's why you can't enter.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. So we're getting.
How do you pick a best song?
It's very difficult.
What's the criteria though? Like, well, how do you?
You got melody, you got lyrics, you got overall general creativity. Okay.
Right.
And that's basically it. And
what about performance? Do you factor performance?
No, we don't really factor performance. And when I'm not looking for a beautiful singer, we're looking for the song.
Right.
For the song, so you can record it into your phone a cappella if you want to and enter it that way. You could record it with a good solo guitar. You could have a whole fancy production of it. But we have about, so far I think we've got about 36 entries.
Oh wow.
Well, the first year we had 104, then last year we only had about 85. This year, based upon what's happening, we're gonna go over the 104, I think.
Fantastic.
Because I think about 50% or more come in the last 2 weeks. And the deadline, I think, is the end of, I don't have the exact date in my head. I think the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Okay. And this is on the website too?
This is on the website. Yeah. There's a link right there. It says enter the songwriting contest.
MusicForHumanityFOR.org.
Yes. MusicForHumanity.org for
all right.
Songwriting contest too. What else do we have going on? We have the Natural Singer Workshop, I should talk about, which is fantastic, which you can attend if you want.
Okay.
And you'll be a better singer. This is going to be on Sunday, December 7th in Newport at what used to be the old Unison location. It's listed on our website.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's conducted by Claude Stein. Do you know Claude?
He sounds familiar, but I can't say
Claude
for sure.
Claude Stein has taught over 30,000 people how to sing.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day when he was in his 20s, he was a singer-songwriter too. But he met somebody who changed the direction of his life and became a singing coach.
Mm.
And the magical part of going to one of Claude's workshops, whether it's with us or somewhere else, because he does do them all over the country, You're in a room with 15 other people, total strangers in most cases, and you hear yourself and you hear everybody else in that room improve their singing on that day. It's magical.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can tell you. I don't know how he does it. He does it.
No, you can do it in one day. You could definitely do it in one day.
And he knows exactly how to pick things out and how to help you, how to guide you.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a psychological exercise.
I had that day. I had a, you know, Sherilyn Bannon, Jungle Love, lead singer Jungle Love. She's lead singer, but she's also a vocal coach. And she's a really dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
I did James Taylor for so long that everything started to sound like James Taylor. And James Taylor's that soft, blah, 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 blah. In my mind, I'm like, you're not.
In my mind.
Right. It's exactly that. And so everything I was doing was that. So one day she calls me up and she's like, come to my house. I'm like, okay. So we go, she goes, bring your guitar and come to my house. I can't take it anymore. I'm like, okay.
It broke you out of it.
Oh, she goes, I want you to do one thing. And I'm like, what? And she goes, I want you to sing like you talk. Just use that voice. Sing like you talk and open your mouth. And I'm like, okay. In an hour, so to the point of your workshop, In an hour and a half, everything was different.
Oh, yeah.
And the feedback was, like, the feedback always used to be like, oh, I like the way you pick a guitar. And that would be like it. But now the feedback was like, hey, I like the way you sing. And I'm like, all in an hour and a half. So to the point of your workshop, you can do it in a day.
It's fantastic. And you hear everybody gets their chance. Where Claude is working one-on-one with them.
Right.
There's some group singing, but everybody gets a chance to sing a song, whether they want to sing it with guitar or a cappella, and he will...
That's on the website too, right?
That's on the website.
All right. Yeah. You're busy, brother.
Yeah, busy. I'm busy. Busy.
That's awesome.
It is amazing.
All right. So let's recap. We got Sunday, October 19th. Is the 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary where we have, by the way, I should mention that three of the performers there, of those three kids, who are...
Ryan
Soyade.
Siobhan.
Ron Lloyd and Esther Che.
Yep.
Represent $42,000 out of the $207,000 given out in music scholarships. Ryan has a master's in piano performance from Juilliard. Siobhan has a master's in vocal performance from Juilliard. And Esther is getting her master's in cello performance this year. I should also mention that Siobhan graduated. We gave him three scholarships. He ended up graduating from the Crane School of Music.
Mm-hmm.
He became a music teacher, which I thought was fantastic.
Yet,
after 3 years of teaching and winning numerous national competitions, both as a singer and as a composer, he announced a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, that he had to resign his teaching position because he received a full scholarship to the Masters of Vocal Performance at Juilliard.
Gotta go.
And that picture I took at his master's recital. I wasn't supposed to take any pictures there, but I snuck my camera in.
Fair enough.
And I took that picture. I'm glad I have a few more.
Right.
But that was an amazing performance. I mean, he could have walked out of Juilliard, walked down to Broadway, and got a starring role
in
the show. That's how good he is.
Wow.
So those three kids are fantastic. John Cimino, I mentioned already, as the winner of the first Popularity Voice Competition. Charles Makatov, been playing classical guitar for over 50 years. He doesn't like to be called a master, but he really is on a very high level. If you
don't. Right.
And then Elisa Jones, full-time music teacher in Warwick, arguably the most dynamic performer in the Hudson Valley. Used to be a backup singer for Wilson Pickett. And I'm happy to have her there too. She's a great supporter of Music for Humanity for more than years, for a couple of decades.
That's fantastic.
The beginning.
Yeah.
That is going to be a show that nobody's going to walk out of there saying, oh man, that sucked.
Right.
They're all going to be walking out on a musical high.
Beautiful.
And if somebody is healthy, I don't want to say his name right now, but if somebody is really healthy and they can be there, we're going to have a guest surprise performer.
Okay.
That I have to keep. I can't publicly announce it right now.
Fair enough. Well, when you get to the point where you can, come on back.
Get to the point. No, the point will be on that day.
Oh, okay. All right.
Or I'll know. I'm in touch with somebody that accompanies him.
Right.
I'm in touch with them, and We're going to find out literally the day before Kenny Beater.
Wonderful, man.
Yeah, because he's in his 80s now.
Okay.
But you put him behind the keyboard and he could play.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, so for all the other stuff that we talked about, musicforhumanity.org.
It's all on.
One-stop shop. Four is F-O-R, musicforhumanity.org.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, and you'll get a great concert on the website of the kids that we've given the $207,000 out. They all have performances up there.
Right.
We also give out an annual honorarium award. Somebody who has donated a lot, like Elisa's got that award. Charles Markitoff has gotten it. And they give a performance. Well, Elisa doesn't have it up there, but there's a bunch of them up there, professional musicians, educators who have really made a difference for Music for Humanity. And they give a little testimonial about what we do.
Wonderful.
And they give a little performance too. So that's really nice.
All right,
you can spend a couple of hours listening to music at the website.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
All right. What did I forget to ask you? Anything?
What's that?
Did I forget to ask anything?
No, I think you asked everything. Thank you so much, man.
You want to play us out?
I could play you out with, I'll play you out with, you know, I know that you're kind of a religious guy.
Yes.
And I have songs that I'll play this song to play us out with, which is a song that came to me early in the morning, like 4:30 during the summer, just at the break of dawn. You know, I was just, you know, sitting there and I realized dawn was coming and this song showed up. And people can think of it as, you know, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, whatever your flavor of religion is. But like I said, Music for Humanity is not a religious organization. To me, this is just something that we're all connected to.
It's called In the Early Morning Light.
Beautiful, man. Thank you for coming in here and doing this too, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime, yeah. Anytime.
In the early morning light, you come to me. In the early morning light, you help me see. Where I have been and where I will be. In the early morning light, hear your sounds. In the early morning light, the wind speaks to me. Whispering in my ear, telling me where we've all been. But wherever we've been, and whatever we say, whichever path we must choose, you will always be there to light our way. In the early morning light, the birds praise your gift. In the early morning light, they all call out your name. And soon we will rise, and soon we will do the same. In the early morning light, among the silhouettes of the trees, in the early morning light, you enter silently on the breeze. As you awaken this world with such gentleness and ease. Yes, wherever we've been, and whatever we say, whichever path we must choose, you will always
there to light our way. In the early morning light, the sky changes you. In the early morning light, I awake and think of you. In all your glory and in all your multitude. Yes, in all your glory and in all your multitude.
Sorry, I needed 5 seconds of silence just to fix this up a little bit, but yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
No, no. Please, my pleasure.
Oh, man.
Let me get us out of here.